We are in week 3 of our message series called Eudaimonia. And it's a fun word. Everyone say Eudaimonia. Look, you're speaking Greek. Isn't that cool? All right, Eudaimonia. It is Greek for what's best translated as flourishing or thriving, but it goes so much deeper than that. So if you missed week 1, go back and listen to it, because we went into kind of a deep dive, which go ahead and plan a little time if you do go listen to that, because afterwards Matt informed me that I talked for like 50 minutes. So I'm sorry, I don't have the plans for that today, but you don't have anywhere to go because it's freezing cold, so we might as well just stay where it's warm and talk about God all day. So I'm down. But we went into a deep dive into the roots of the concept of eudaimonia. And we asked the question, I left you guys with a question, of how do you think about God? Like, when you think of God, what do you think? Like, what do you think of his personality? What do you think? How do you think of him? Do you think of him as God the Father? Do you think of him as God the Son? Do you think of him as the Spirit? And I encourage you to try to think of him as all of the above, because God is the trifold, the Trinity. He is the 3-in-1 person of God. In week 2, which, did everyone get a chance to catch that? Because last week was kind of weird. So I was watching on my couch, on my computer, during the message, but it was a good message. So if you guys have not taken the time to go back and listen to that, please do. Because Matt talked about how we form our virtues as individuals. And he emphasized how we kind of look toward what Aristotle called moral exemplars. And those are people that we look up to. Those are our role models. But we have to learn a balance between excess and deficiency in how we operate in the world. That's how we look at our role models. See, if we put our role models up on a pedestal, then if they fall off of that, we've put too much of our faith and who they are. But then if we never look to anyone beyond ourselves for wisdom, then we can never learn from others' experiences. So we have the golden mean. So this was developed by Aristotle, and we talked about it a lot in the first week. But the golden mean is finding that balance between excess and deficiency. And as we go through life, we need to apply that to everything. In the way that we are generous, like Micah was saying, in the way that we are relationships, we can't put all of our hope into a relationship, because if that relationship doesn't last, then where's our hope? But then again, we also can't live a completely closed off life, void of love. So we have to find that balance. So today we're going to be applying these same concepts to how we live in the world with others. So this whole series, we're looking at Jeremiah 29. The section we're looking at today starts in verse 7. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and the diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. So this feels like it's a pretty big swing. Like at the beginning, it's, you know, pray for your nation, pray for your city, pray for your leaders, pray for the people that are holding you captive. And then it immediately swings to, but don't trust them, because I didn't send them. So we're going to look into this a little bit more. See, we flourish as exiles. Yes, we're still talking about exiles. By practicing subversive submission. By seeking the good of the city, the society, the nation, our community, while staying faithful to God's calling. See, God's people were called to pray for Babylon. God told Jeremiah, tell my people to pray for Babylon, the nation that destroyed their home, the nation that swept them away and is holding them captive. Don't tell them to revolt, but also don't tell them to assimilate. That's what subversive submission is, living well within a culture while resisting its idolatry. See, tomorrow is a special day. And it's special because it's a day every year that is set aside to celebrate the life of one of my personal heroes, aka one of my moral exemplars, Martin Luther King Jr. See, when I started thinking about this message, I realized that it couldn't have been better timing, and I wish I could say that we thought ahead and planned that. We didn't. It just happened. But it couldn't have been better timing. See, there's only a few people in history who have represented the idea of living well in exile as Martin Luther King Jr. did. See, Dr. King, he embodied subversive submission. Nonviolent resistance that sought the good of both the oppressed and the oppressors. He said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. See, King's peaceful activism resisted injustice while seeking true peace, shalom. And shalom is not just the absence of disruption or the absence of pain or the absence of chaos. Shalom is wholeness. It's justice. See, Dr. King said things much like Jeremiah called Israel to do. So how do we do this? How do we use Dr. King as a moral exemplar and think about how that is applied in our lives today? Step one, pray for your city. It says, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. See, interceding in prayer for our city, our community, our society, our nation, our leaders, our families, it means seeking God's blessing, seeking God's justice, and seeking God's righteousness for all people. See, prayer changes both the people that you're praying for and you. See, it aligns your heart with God's heart. And it helps you to see the world that we live in through a little bit different perspective. See, Martin Luther King Jr. consistently prayed for those who opposed him, publicly and privately. His prayers and his speeches, they all called for peace that was rooted in justice. Shalom. He said, true peace is not merely the absence of tension, it is the presence of justice. So to flourish as exiles, we must pray not just for our comfort, not just for our peace, not just for our will or the outcome that we're wanting, but also for the transformation of our communities, the transformation of our nation. Okay, step two, living faithfully without assimilating. Jeremiah said, as a mediator for God. I don't want to misquote. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them. See, flourishing as exiles requires spiritual discernment. You know what helps us get spiritual discernment? Prayer. Aligning our hearts with God's heart. See, it shapes our hearts toward God's will rather than ours. And we can live well with people without becoming like them. We can be among them and not compromise our faith. See, we don't have to compromise our faith, our calling, or who we are in Christ to love others that don't believe like we do, that don't live like we do. See, Dr. King never compromised his biblical convictions, even when he was pressured by both sides. See, he was doing things differently. He was getting pressure by his allies to throw aside the peaceful part of the protest. And of course, he was getting opposition from those who opposed him. But he still called for nonviolent resistance. See, his faith-driven activism was a model of being in the world, but not of the world. See, that comes from a scripture in John. Right before Jesus was arrested, he was in the garden praying. And he was praying for his disciples. He said, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Side note. So sanctified is one of those churchy words that you hear that you maybe don't, like, you couldn't, like, define the word for someone if they asked you. Sanctified means to be set apart. See, Jesus set himself apart so that we could also be set apart. And then he showed us how to live in the world set apart, aka as exiles. Which brings us to step three, living the example of Christ. See, Jesus exemplifies subversive submission perfectly. He prayed for his enemies. He loved the outcast. And he ultimately transformed the entire world through his sacrificial love. See, we, like exiles, we live in a world that is not our own. But we are called. We're not called to have a job in a church to feel like we're doing ministry. We're not called to just be nice to people. We're not called to say the right things on a Sunday morning, but then forget about it when you get cut off in traffic. See, we are called to make this world better by seeking its peace and praying for all people. Little side note challenge. Before you say anything negative about a person, either a personal relationship or someone that you don't know, like a political leader, consider saying a prayer for them first. See, subversive submission means participating in the world without compromising our heavenly citizenship. See, just as Martin Luther King Jr. advocated for justice that was rooted in God's truth, we must engage our society with the hope that's found in the gospel. Y'all, it's the only way. As exiles, we are going to feel powerless to change things. We are going to have moments of frustration, of doubt, and of fear. But we have to put our faith in God that He's got it. We have to put our hope in the gospel. We have to live faithfully and with integrity. That's the only way that we can produce the good fruit of the Spirit. And as we produce that good fruit through our lives and we are putting out into this world through who we are, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That self-control one. But as we put that fruit out into the world, we are feeding the world around us the love of Jesus. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. See, I am certain that within the next week, within the next few days, we will all have the opportunity to show or to speak either love or hate. See, there's so many things happening even in our community. I love Johnson County. I love it. I don't want to live anywhere else. From the moment that we moved here, I knew that this was home. I am invested in the well-being of this community, of the people in it. But it's not perfect, because people make mistakes. And when people make mistakes, sometimes that's reflected as bad leadership. Sometimes that has far-reaching issues that have to be dealt with. And it's very easy to just give up hope. To just say, well, it is what it is. There's nothing that can be done to fix it. I have a good friend of mine. She's my mentor for 100 Families. And we have a weekly meeting where we just touch base. And she's from Sebastian County, Fort Smith. Fort Smith is one of the biggest cities in Arkansas. I think it's the second largest city in Arkansas. And there's a lot of crime. There's a lot of stuff that happens in that community. Yet she is always blown away at the drama in Johnson County. Every once in a while, she's like, I think I may have gotten you beat. And I was like, nope, send her a new news article. But we can't give up hope. We can't sit back and we can't talk bad about the people that are in the middle of it. We got to do something. We got to take action. We got to keep walking forward and showing love, producing that fruit and feeding others the love of Christ. And we're not even going to get started in all the national and international drama that's going on around the globe. But we have to be careful to not let the differences in opinions harm relationships. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend." But how do we do this? How do we advocate for shalom, for justice and peace, for goodness in a broken world? How do we pray for someone that goes against every bit of goodness that we know of in the world? How do we put the love of Jesus into action? Let's look at Romans chapter 12. This is one of my favorite chapters. And this is not the first time that I've read this here. But starting with verse 9, we read that love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, but cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need, and practice hospitality. This is where it gets real tricky, y'all. Bless those who persecute you. Bless, and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. And live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people in low position. And do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, if it is at all possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, this is our calling. This is our mission. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So here's our challenge for this next week and beyond. Pray for your neighbors. The people that cut you off in traffic, the people that ram your cart in Walmart and then yell at you, the people who call you at work and cuss you out for nothing, making a non-personal issue very personal, the people in our community that maybe you don't trust, maybe you don't think they're a good leader, maybe you think they made wrong decisions, people that may be going through the worst part of their life, but they're in the wrong. They deserve it. Pray for those people. Pray for your community, for Johnson County. Pray for our country. Pray for our nation. The people that are put into positions of leadership is not necessarily because God intervened and made that happen. Jeremiah 29 clearly said that he does not put all leadership in positions of leadership. But pray for them. If for nothing else, then to soften your heart, to be able to see the needs in the world around you. Because hardening your heart against one person, it doesn't change them, it changes you. It doesn't fix any situation. It blocks you from being able to love others well. So we're going to start by praying together right now. Father, I just pray, God, that you would give us the courage to pray for others. God, this is one of those risky prayers. It's worth thinking about the consequences before we do it. Because if we open our hearts and we pray for our enemies, we pray for those that we just don't like, God, that we pray for people that we don't know what they're dealing with, we just might see things differently. God, give us the courage to pray, knowing that that doesn't mean that a situation is going to automatically improve. God, give us the courage to pray, to seek your will, knowing that in all things that happen in this world, unless people are yielded to you and your will, this world is not going to reflect you, but we can. God, this world is full of cracks. It's broken. But God, as we pray over the brokenness, that's when we are empowered through your Spirit to start pulling the brokenness back together. God, healing the pain. God, help us to have the strength to live in this broken world, but not become a part of it. Give us the strength to be sanctified, to be set apart, to understand that to live like you, to live for you, is to live in exile. When it would be so much easier to let the noise and the distraction of everything that's going on in the world around us to keep us from hearing your voice, to keep us from being able to really lean into what you're calling us to do. God, give us the strength to stand apart. Father, give us the wisdom to live by the example that you set before us through Jesus. God, to live every day in subversive submission, knowing that we are not of this world, even though we are in it. God, knowing that vengeance is yours. God, that justice belongs in your hands. God, let us surrender our attempt at controlling the narrative. And trust you with the story. God, I pray for our community. I pray for all the brokenness in Johnson County. God, I pray for our state, for our nation. Lord, I pray for our leaders. God, and I pray for the world. Because as broken as our nation may feel and may be, there's a lot worse places to be. God, I pray for our hearts to be yielded to you, to be open to you. Father, I pray that you will help us, God, in all these ways to not create more division in the world, but to build bridges across the brokenness, to be a source of hope and light in all the darkness. God, give us the courage to love. Amen.